guys, welcome to episode 11 of the iHeart Running Podcast. In this episode, I interviewed Phil Finlayson. Many of you already know him in the running community as he's usually training or racing everything from 5Ks to ultras. It was nice to talk to him about his journey of how he got here and his moniker, Kinda Old, Kinda Fast. Phil is not only a knowledgeable runner, but someone who is passionate and has worked hard towards his goals. He not only pursues his passion on the roads and the trails, but also coaches many budding young athletes. What a way to give back. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Phil, I'm so excited you're finally on my podcast.
Hey, May. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Okay, let's get this party started. So I've been trying to get Phil on my podcast for a few months now. He was actually one of the first people I approached to be on this podcast because I feel like we have so much to talk about, and we're finally here. So before I get started, I'm going to introduce you. This is Phil. I don't want to mispronounce your last name. So did you want to pronounce it for me?
Finlayson.
Finlayson. Okay, perfect. I never had to say your last name before, so I want to make sure it's done well. So I met Phil, I think about maybe 6-7 years ago, when I first started running, because we met from our running club, North Burnaby Runners, and I've known Phil ever since, and he's one of the most hardworking runners out there. So when I first met Phil, I think you were running marathons and really fast, but now you're doing everything. So I want to talk about that. And you're also behind the hashtag Kinda Old, Kinda Fast. That describes everything. I think that pretty much describes Phil to a T, because he is kind of old and kind of fast. So how old are you now, Phil?
I am 47.
Not 47.
47. Yeah, I'm actually sitting here going, wow, 50 is getting close.
Are you 47? Oh, okay.
I'll be 48 in February.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you're already 50. Okay. Well, I guess it's coming up really quickly, and then you'll be kind of older and kind of faster. So yeah. You are getting faster, by the way, I guess. So let's talk about how this all started. How long have you been running for?
I actually started running in high school.
Okay.
Didn't have a track and field program until grade 11. A new teacher came to school and started up what I later heard but turned into a very good program. But she was a relatively new teacher. And I went, hey, I'm not really in any clubs and I kind of like running, so I'll try her out.
Yeah. Okay. So was that a local? I think, did you grow up in the Lower Mainland or somewhere else?
I grew up on the Sunshine Coast.
Okay.
So I went to the high school in Gibson's, BC.
Oh, I love Gibson's. That's one of my favorite places. So
it is lovely.
Yeah. So I guess you said there wasn't any running club until you hit grade 11 and you decided why not give it a try?
Yeah. Yeah. I went into it quite convinced, as I've noticed most high school students are, that they're all sprinters. And the coach took a look at me and went, no, you're a distance runner.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Always seemed fascinating. Like, how tall were you back in high school?
I'm about the same height I was then. I grew young. I think I was about 6 feet tall in grade 8. And, grew a little bit more past that.
For people who don't know Phil is extremely tall and maybe more to me taller than usual because I'm 5'1". So Phil is almost a whole foot taller than me. So not just 1 foot. Sorry, he's much taller than me. And I feel like you look like a runner to me. You look like a fast sprinter. So I'm surprised that the coach thought you weren't really a sprinter, I guess. So why did she think that you were a long distance runner?
Well, first off, at that point, and I did do a couple of meets when I was in grade 11. Mm-hmm. Most of the kids who were in the mix at the top end of the races who were legit sprinters, they were even, I mean, this was years ago yet, but they're still flirting with like the 10 second mark on the 100 meters and using sprint blocks and all sorts of wonderful things like that were completely alien to me.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess back then, what did high school track practice or what was running like for you?
I like doing laps on the track. It's still kind of like, I was just at the track this morning and chatting with a friend, and 400 meters are lovely, lovely intervals. I feel like I could do those all day.
Yeah.
Not really, but you know, the feeling. But no, the coach, and she definitely had some good experience under her belt, was quite convinced that I should be thinking about the mile and the 3K on the track.
Okay. Instead. And I guess that's long distance for high school running, I guess, the mile and 3K.
Yeah. I think in those days, I think they were allowed to do the 5K on the track, the 5,000. But I don't think they're allowed to anymore until grade 12. It turns into an optional.
Okay, that's good to know. I never did running in high school, so I'm always intrigued what high school running looked like. And do you do cross country as well?
Actually, I only learned a few years ago, I guess probably about the same time that I met you,
that
cross country did not necessarily involve skis. So
that's too funny.
my experience is limited in some areas.
Oh, wow. Okay. And for those who don't know, Phil's experience is very ashy. It has expanded since then. He just finished Squamish 50, and he did a knockoff of our famous race here in North Vancouver. The what was it called again? It
has The Kneenacker. Though I ran it with Club Fat Ass, and their version of it is the day after, and they call it Freeknicker.
Yeah, Freeknicker. That's the name. And I'm like, okay, that I haven't done it, but everyone knows that's the hardest, I guess you could, hardest North Vancouver ultra you can possibly do. And you did that this year, not too long ago. And then you just finished Squamish 50 about a week or so ago now. And that to me is long distance, you know, that's long distance running at its best. So I'm just wondering how you went from high school to track practice to that. So did you just continue running after high school, or did you take a break?
Well, I guess what really hooked me in, and me and the track coach were a little bit at odds, because I just didn't have the mental capacity at whatever 17 or 18 to run more than four laps around a track. and it was a real battle trying to get 3,000 meters out of me. But she said, a little bit on a whim, hey, the sun runs next weekend. Why don't you try that?
Oh, wow.
And, The fellow who I was training with went, yeah, I'll try 10 kilometers and see what that looks like. Because we were doing about a 6 to 8 kilometer run once a week within our track training.
Okay.
So I went, hey, yeah, I'll try that. And I loved running on the road. It was a changing experience for me to.
How did it go? How did your first sun run go? I guess that's your first race then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was I can't honestly remember what year it was. It was the 10th one. I remember there's lots of celebrations about being at the 10th annual.
Yeah.
I don't know. I went out too fast, because that's what you do when you do your first race.
Yeah.
Then after about the 5K mark, I struggled a little bit, and then I started went, okay, well, let's let my competitive juices go, and I'm gonna pick off that person up there that's, you know, 20 meters ahead of me, and then I'll see about picking off the next person. And I kind of got through the second half through that, and then I finished it off with a kick that may have looked good at my last track meet, and just loved the whole experience.
Okay, so you fell in love pretty much at that first race, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's how you got hooked. And what happened after that? I guess you eventually graduated from high school. Did your coach convince you to keep doing it afterwards, or you just did it as a hobby? What happened after you graduated? And from then, I guess, to when I met you.
Well, I had a number of years, I think, between then and COVID, I think I only missed one, maybe two sun runs.
Okay.
And so it was always in the mix.
Yeah.
But it was never really my focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of on this habit of going, hey, you know what? Sun run's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I haven't signed up for it. I'll sign up for it, and I'll do a little bit of training. And next year, I'm going to do a proper training block, and I'll go really fast. I think I did that for about 10 or so years.
Oh, wow. It's amazing how a local race can get people motivated. At least, I mean, to most people, that's a form of motivation. I mean, you get closer to the race. Maybe I'll start training for that 10K. I'll run it and then I'll do better next year.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's amazing. That's actually a really interesting story. I always love hearing about how people get started, what keeps them going, and how they went from beginner to advanced. Like, did you ever struggle during those first few years of running? Do you find it hard, or do you feel that it's just something that you were passionate about and you love so much?
Well, generally, I really, really like moving. Mm-hmm. And what moving is has changed a lot over my lifespan. But usually there was this bit of confidence that I had enough of a fitness base that I could be 6 or 8 runs away from being ready to run 10 kilometers, even though maybe I hadn't done any organized running on roads since maybe the last Sun Run.
Yeah.
And sometimes that got me into trouble. I did DNF once. I actually got to the start line late, which just those who run with me know that's totally in the mix. definite possibility some days. But I decided I was going to pass everybody at the start and ended up fatiguing my ankle and doing like a overuse injury within the first like 3 kilometers.
Oh, wow. I did not know about this. That's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't have an inkling that it, and I was like, oh, no, it'll pass. It's just a little niggle. And I think I might've made it to the 5 kilometer mark and went, nope. And limped back to the C bus. I think I was living in North Van at that time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So I guess the moral of the story, don't be late and don't go out too fast.
don't be late. Don't go out too fast. No.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I guess was that your only ever DNF, or did you have any more in the last few years or ever?
Nope. I haven't been shy away from going, okay, this race isn't going the way I want it to go. And yeah, maybe I'll back off, but I'll get to the finish line. No, that's been my only DNF so far.
Okay. Whoever thought it would be like the Sun Run. So how do you go from Sun Run to, I guess you later on moved up distances, I don't know, to 8 to like half marathons and marathons. How did you end up upgrading to the longer distances?
Well, as I was inspired by a fellow that I worked with, he was trying to get into the armed forces as a search and rescue technician. Okay. And he told me the whole story about it. And if you want to be a military search and rescue technician, and those are the folks that on our part of the world hang out in Comox, and if, say, North Shore Search and Rescue needs some help, mm-hmm. they're the ones that they end up calling in. But to get to become a military search and rescue person, you have to do any military trade first. And then you transfer over. And he was busy trying to convince them that a couple of years in the reserves, a part-time army, was enough to get in there. And they were saying, no. Our rule book says you have to do full-time, complete all your training for one trade and transfer over. And so he was trying to make a case to them that they should just let him in. But he was the first ultra runner I met.
Okay.
And, we were chatting one time where our shifts overlapped and he said, yeah, I ran the West Coast Trail. And I went, you ran the West Coast Trail? That's crazy. He went, yeah, no, I'm not the first one to do it. And I was like, oh, well, how long did that take? And he said, yeah, about 15 hours. I was flabbergasted because I've hiked the West Coast Trail.
Yeah.
And that's pretty serious feat to do it that fast. It was completely foreign to me, even the thought of doing it in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that sounded kind of cool. And he went on to say that he had was chatting with the recruiting officer and said, oh, yeah, I ran the West Coast Trail and kind of had the same conversation with me. You know, you hiked it, right? No. I ran the West Coast Trail. And he said, how fast did you do it? And he said, well, I did it in 15 hours. And apparently a week after we had that conversation, he gave me a shout and said, guess what? apparently that was enough to get into search and rescue technicians training.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a really cool story.
Yeah, no, that was kind of my inspiration for wanting to go further than 10 kilometers in a run.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That would inspire me. Like, do you think, I guess for most non-trail runners, every time you think of someone actually running a trail that you have actually hiked, especially a technical, difficult one, it's just amazing. And I guess it's very inspirational. So that,
oh, yeah,
I guess it's the first time you thought, oh, maybe I could do that one day.
And then that was pretty much the thought process that went through my head. And I didn't really, at that point, trail running certainly didn't have the publicity it has today.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, you know, if I say maybe run a couple of halves and maybe do a marathon, then in that controlled environment, I'll kind of get my legs ready. And then I can start thinking about running on a trail and maybe do some kind of destination races like that, or even not even thinking races at that point, because who would want to run whatever 78 kilometers, I think it is, in a day? That sounds silly in an organized event.
Who would ever think that you know, Phil would be interested in doing that for fun?
Oh, exactly.
So I recall you running actually your first ultra. Was that 2 years ago before COVID, obviously, at Bucking Hill? Was that your first ultra?
That was my first one. Yep. Decided to jump into the deep end with Bucking Hill.
That's a tough one too. It's not.
I looked at the elevation and went, well, but that race sits really nice on my calendar. So that's the one that I'm going to start with.
Okay. I was wondering, what was your thinking behind that? Because, I mean, some people for their first ultra, or they might dabble in shorter distances. And that feels like, no, I'm just going for one of Gary Robbins, you know, tough mountain races. And that's definitely, you know, touted as one of the harder races in our town. So I'm like, well, that can either turn you off or really get you going. So how did that go?
That day, I've since learned that one of the things that flare up on me on big trail races is my IT band, which apparently likes to talk to me at about 30 kilometers on trails. The second half was a little bit rough because my one leg stiffened up and did not like going downhill.
Yeah.
And that started just after I got to the peak of Seymour.
Seymour is not a joke when it comes to elevation and technicality. So,
yeah.
But you finished, and I think you did well, I think. What was your time?
I did all right. I tucked just under 8 hours. So
that's
given
actually really, that's more than all right. I think that's pretty darn good for your first 50. That's crazy.
Yeah, considering how much walking I did in the second half, I felt not too bad about that.
Wow. Also, you enjoyed it because you signed up for more.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I know you're still doing both marathons and ultras and trail races. I guess you don't really have a preference. You like everything.
I like variety. I think I'd be hard-pressed. I am leaning a little bit more to the longer distances. I think at this point in my life, I think it's a little bit easier on my body than trying to push myself on shorter distances. But at the same time, it's something that interests me to see if I can push myself there a little bit further.
Okay. I've been following you on Strava. I subscribe to your update. So every time Phil does something, which is like all day long, I don't know how you manage, but you work and Phil's a teacher and all day. Phil wakes up early. He's doing I know you do your stretching and rolling mobility, and then Phil also rides his bike and he does hiking and he also does running and everything in between. So that pops up on my Strava and I'm just intrigued what your plan is like. Do you have a running coach right now, or are you just going by something that you know works for you?
I'm just do it myself. I kind of enjoy the planning process. I did get coached by Justin Kent for a couple of years. And in the early days of M2M, I think I was tagged officially a friend of M2M in their early days. Mm-hmm. And Dylan used to help me out periodically.
Okay, so right now you're self-coached. You're just going to go with what you know works for you and you enjoy, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, and what are you training for exactly in terms of all your, I guess I know you try to be very well-rounded into training. It looks like you're working on your mobility and your running and your speed. You did speed work this morning. Do you have any specific goals?
The plan for this summer was to spend lots of time on, as much time as I possibly could on trails.
Yeah.
And and I managed to meet that, and then see what I could do to transition from that to get myself onto the start line for the Victoria Marathon.
Oh yes, that's, I think you posted that. So that's your next big race, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel that the trail running, or having completed an ultra or two in a recent month or so, has prepared you for a marathon, or do you feel that it's two different things and they don't really any link up?
I was hoping when I sat down with my pen and paper and started plotting out the plan that it would be kind of serve as a really solid long base training section. So just kind of working on my endurance, and I'm kind of feeling like I'm there. My only question mark, and I am just starting the transition right now, my only question mark is that if I can get my speed back into its place, because obviously, I mean, there's only 8 kilometers difference from a marathon to a 50K, but the way you run it is much, much different.
Yeah, definitely, because it's, I guess one is on a road and there's no mountains. But at the same time, I feel you must get such good strength training just running the trails.
Yeah. You know,
that's a whole different thing. But
yeah, my chiropractor was actually checking out my legs the other day. He's like, you're getting some muscle on there. Those are looking good. Yeah. I'm like, oh, thanks.
I was going to say, you must have gotten some good gains from climbing all those mountains all summer. So I'm intrigued to see how everything goes for you, and I'm excited. And for those who don't know, Phil is actually extremely fast on the roads. I don't know what your PBs are. Did you want to share them?
I got a whole list of them on Strava, but I guess the one that's hanging in front of me right now, it's been since 2018 that I had the opportunity to be on the start line for a marathon. And I am going to take a stab at my PB. I'm hoping to do that. And that'll mean a sub 250.
Oh, wow. See, that to me is incredible. Like it's, and you're not, I'm not saying you're old, but you're not young. So
I mean, kind of old.
There are some 30-year-olds who dream of, you know, getting a sub 3, and Phil has surpassed that. So you're another one of my older runner podcast guests, and I think that's very inspiring. How fast were you in your first marathon, do you recall?
I started that one out way too fast as well, but I did that the year I turned 40, and I ran a 309.
Okay, so you went from 309 to what was it to
I took a couple of years off focusing on slightly shorter distances. And then I ran Victoria and then the BMO Marathon in the same year, and came in 251 and 252 and pocket change.
Wow. And BMO's, I guess, a harder course than some. It's quite hilly and it could be hot. So I guess it's not rated equal in terms of fall races, which Victoria will be. So are you excited about Victoria and hopefully crushing that PB, I guess?
I love Victoria. My wife and I think she grew up on the island, so we kind of used that long weekend as an excuse to go run a race and then be there for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah,
which is awesome because we go and run a really big race and stop at the craft brew place on the way up to the in-laws, and they think you're a hero for coming with stuff from the craft brew place, and you say, "Oh, don't mind me, just pass the turkey and the potatoes over."
I love how you always plan all your runs and training runs around the craft breweries. So if you ever see Phil, he's biking to I think your destination is always someplace delicious or yummy, because I bumped into you in a few of my training runs. I'm like, and then I see your Strava, and then you already posted pictures of what you got. So it's always
it's been good fun. Especially on a bike. My wife and I do a lot of those kind of little destination bike rides, and sometimes we'll go out for 20 kilometers. Sometimes we've gone out for 100 kilometers, and being able to throw a destination like that makes it a little more enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, it seems that you both have something in common and you get spent time together. So it's kind of fun. And I really love that. So do you feel that it helps a lot that your wife and you have you can work on it together, at least the biking part? I know your wife runs as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we have problems running on the road together. I tend to pull her along too fast, but we can trail run and hike together. They're kind of my recovery level spots. I'm still working on consistently being faster than her downhills, because she tears it up going downhills. And then on bikes, that's just kind of, we just do it as just some nice recovery kind of activities together. And
yeah, I'm like, I know you're fast because I tried running with Phil, you know, with NVR, and Phil's definitely a lot. I know you don't mean to be too fast, but you can be too, a little faster than the average runner. So if, I mean, I know, you know, it's hard to find someone who kind of runs your pace, especially for training runs. So, and Phil is very good at organizing. If you're interested, I don't know if you want to share it, but Phil does organize some good training runs for people who kind of run closer to his pace, I guess. So that's pretty awesome. And do you have any advice for runners who are new to the sport, regardless of age or background or skill? What's the best way to get into it and keep motivated?
I think I was thinking about that question, because I've seen that question pop up in some of your interviews. So I was kind of pondering what my best answer for that was. In the end, it's just find the spot where you have fun doing it, because if you're gonna stick with it, it's got to be fun on some level, whether it's your competitive juices or going farther or stopping at a craft brew place at the end. getting up and getting moving is a really, really good thing, I think, for a lot of people. So if you can find the joy in some part of it, I think that's the best one. And then going from there, some days run a little bit faster and some days run a little bit longer, and mostly try to enjoy the ride.
That's great advice, Phil. I was going to say, not everyone has the same goal. So I'm always interested to hear what seasoned runners have to say about keeping motivated, because like you said, if you're not enjoying it, then what's the point, right? So
exactly.
That's a great answer. In terms of running, anything else that you enjoy other than running, or is it all running related?
Well, as you let the cat out of the bag with how much I fit into a day, that's kind of the focus for me. I have actually really been enjoying a relatively new transition from working in construction to being a high school teacher. And I've been really enjoying working with the athletes at the high school level, and it's kind of been a neat learning curve there as well.
That's almost like full circle. I was just thinking about that, because I wasn't sure if you wanted to share that with my listeners, but so for when I first met Phil, we actually have a funny story. Actually, I don't know, I used to work close to where Phil worked before he became a teacher, and he used to drive this van around. So one day I was out for a run, which is like every day, but I was out running, and then all of a sudden in the corner of my eye I see this van with like unmarked white van trailing me, and I was like, oh, this is kind of creeping me out, I'm just gonna keep running faster. So I basically made a sprint back to my office, and then later on I uploaded my run to Strava, and Phil was like, hey, that was me, I just wanted to say hi. And I'm like, oh man, so you're the creepy white van guy.
Yes, I know that was a running gag for really running gag for a bit there. Yeah, I was trying to unroll the window on the passenger side and say, hey May, don't worry, it's just me, and you took off too fast.
I never ran so fast in my life. You know, that stereotypical white van following you around when you're running. I'm like, this is so creepy.
They should have got some stickers for the side of that van.
Not creepy. Not a creepy man. But yeah, that was funny. So Phil used to work in trades, and you still do kind of in a way, but you went back to school and you became a high school teacher.
Yeah.
So, and it seems like you're really enjoying it. And like I said, it seems full circle. Like you said, you started your running journey because someone, you know, decided to start coaching, you know, you're in your high school, and here you are now, you're coaching young children and kids and even your own daughter, I suppose.
that's my favorite story. Can I share a favorite story from the year?
Yeah, go ahead. I would love to hear about it, and I'm sure people would too.
So I started teaching last September at the same school my daughter goes to, and she's in starting grade 12 this year. Mm-hmm. And when she found out that I was going to be teaching at her school, she was okay with that. She said, you stay in your corner, Dad, I'll stay in my corner, and it'll be all good. And then she looked at me and went, you're not going to start running stuff at my school, are you? Because my school hates running, just so you know. And I later found out that they had one track and field season in the past 8 years or something like that. So there was that. And I said, you know what? You know who I am. I'm going to ask. And if people come out, they come out. And she went, okay, but it's not cool at my school. And then just before cross country season started, she came up to me and very quietly said, if anybody shows up, Dad, I might try out cross country. And I ended up having, I think I was getting eight kids showing up to practice. And so she decided she was going to come, and she did her first two ever 5K runs, because she was a senior athlete. So she had to jump into the deep end right off the bat.
Wow.
And then she decided, okay, that wasn't too bad, but I'll try track and field, but I'm not going to do any running, Dad. I don't want to do any running. I said, that's okay. It's track and field. And yeah. He'd made good friends with another girl who was really interested in doing throwing events. So I said, well, you two hang out together and you can throw some discus and throw some shot put. I'll get you to run a little bit just for general fitness, but you don't have to run any races. And she said, okay, that sounds like not a bad deal. And then she decided she wanted to try race walking.
Oh, you have to share the story. I read about it.
And it just keeps getting better from there. So yeah. I've played with race walking before when I was dealing with injuries. I went through a stretch with plantar fasciitis where I could walk as fast as I wanted to without irritating it. But any running was just pain. Mm-hmm. And so I played with race walking, and I actually got some tips from our good friend Evan Dumphy.
Yes.
Who I think you may have initiated the contact with, come to think of it.
Facebook, I think. Yeah, I remember you were asking, someone was asking me about something, and then I mentioned Evan. And Evan's wonderful. He loves working in our community. So major shout out to Evan, and kudos to him.
Yes, Evan Dumphy is one of my favorite athletes.
Yeah.
He is such a good fellow.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I had a little bit of race walking, so I gave her some tips, and so she did her first race. And she didn't like it too much because the thing that went in her ear the most was making sure that her heel touched the ground. So she was driving her heel into the ground, and it bugged her knees and stuff, but she did it. And I said, okay, well, we can work with that. You did your first race walk. So we got her into a little bit more of a flowy, less driving the heel into the ground. And that was her second race. And she took a full minute off her time just with picking up the technique, and and that was enough to get her into our district finals,
which is amazing. I never tried race walking. It doesn't look easy. Like I can't imagine the technique that you need to learn just to even compete.
Yeah, it's very, very technique heavy. I am coming up from a runner's perspective as well, but there's a lot of little tweaks that gets you a little bit more flowy and gets your feet rolling over a little bit faster. And that's really, to me anyways, the key items of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she managed to qualify for provincials and off of the regional finals. And I'd asked her about it. I said, well, why do you, what made you choose race walking? She said, well, you know, you kind of talked about Evan Dumphy a little bit, and we watched him in the Olympics, and I thought, well, you know, I can maybe try that out. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I sent Evan a message and said, hey, you can rack up another kid that you've inspired. Daughter's heading to provincials after knowing that you exist and knowing that that's a thing she could try. And he said, oh, cool. And then he got back to me and he said, hey, that's like a down week after a big race of mine. Would your daughter like a session for race walking?
That's just crazy. I can't believe he actually offered. That's so sweet of him.
Yeah. And it is the kind of guy that he is.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, and her eyes like lit up like an anime character. We ended up
having an Olympian willing to like train you. That's just amazing.
Yeah. So we did a I think it was like a 30, 45 minute session at Burnaby Central Park, and Evan brought his medal, and we took pictures and had good fun, and he gave her some things to work on. He cleaned up a lot of the stuff that I had shown her, and he said, I know when provincials are, I think I might come by and see it. And he did. He came there. He showed up at the provincials out in Langley last year, and just emphasize even more what a nice guy he is, because he knew all the other kids who were there race walking and chatting with everybody. At one point he came out and said, "Hey everybody, who wants to do a warm-up?" And he grabbed all the kids who heard him, and they did a warm-up before race walking with him, and good stuff like that. And then my daughter did her race, and we kind of had a strategy that she definitely wasn't going to be the fastest going into it. I think she was seated 22 out of 24 spots.
Okay. But she's new to the sport. I mean, she just took it up right on a whim.
Yeah. She had just taken it up, and we kind of had some expectations around that, going, you know what, you've cleaned up your forms, you're probably going to finish better than that, but let's kind of work with that. And our strategy going in was, and race walking for high school is 1500 meters. So I said, okay, well, you do your first lap. When you hit the finish, where the finish line is the first time, if about 2/3 of the kids are ahead of you, you're probably in the right spot. And then just see if you can pick them off. Cause I just wanted to emphasize that if she was going to enjoy the race, don't go out too fast. That was really the subtext of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what she did. She went around, and there was about 2/3 of the kids were in front of her. And then she started picking them off. And there were some very fast kids. I think the top eight were ranging from sub 8 minutes to 8:45 or something like that. And there was
that's fast. Yeah.
That is fast. Yeah. I don't think I could do that. Not that my technique's there, but I don't think my engine couldn't do that. I don't think.
I'm amazed at how people can walk faster than some people can run. It's just crazy.
Yeah. No, it's amazing watching them go.
Yeah.
But she ended up getting herself into a bit of a pack behind this lead group. And she just worked her way up the pack and held on to her spot. And on the last about 150 meters, there were a couple other girls that took a stab at passing her, and she was so determined, coming from a kid again who said, "Don't do running, Dad. Our school doesn't like running." And to maybe I'll try cross country, to no, this is my spot. The rest of you stay behind me. And she ended up finishing in just over 10 minutes. I think her official time was like 10:03.
Wow. Well done.
Yeah, just phenomenal.
That's amazing. I love that story. Also, Phil, you were very inspiring for her and Evan as well. But like you said, she went from, "I don't think this is going to work, Dad," to, you know, getting, I remember you posting that. I'm like, wow, that's incredible to think that you made a difference in at least one person's life, if not more. So is she still doing it, or she's really into the track and field now? What's she doing now?
No, she actually has cornered me and has got me kind of doing a slow build up plan. So we're kind of working on her engine a little bit, and she's going to do cross country and run in cross country. But we're going to keep a little bit of race walking in the mix, so that when the season starts, she has a little bit better of an engine, and then we can fine tune her technique a little bit more. Good old Evan has also already said that, "Hey, give me a shout and I'll come out and do a guest session for all your track and field athletes." And I'm like, Evan, you are the awesomest.
He is. I don't know anyone, any athlete. Like I said, he's an Olympian, if people don't know. And he's just so down to earth, and he's willing to show up to these events and, you know, like, and I think it means so much to everyone, the kids, the teachers, the parents. And I can't emphasize enough what an amazing guy he is and what he does for the sport of even race walking, because like a lot of people don't appreciate race walking, I feel, compared to running, because it doesn't, I guess it just doesn't have that pizzazz or on the surface. But like I said, you follow Evan or another person I know, Caitlin, and they can walk faster than most people can run. It's amazing. And for long distances, it's crazy.
Yeah. I think I'm horrible with names, but I think I believe I've met Caitlin as well. She used to work
at Running Room.
I ran with her once, and I was running and she was race walking beside me, and we're carrying on a very nice conversation.
She's also a very wonderful person. She was telling me, a friend of hers, she was telling me about how she got started. And she's good friends with Evan. And she started, I think, race walking in high school also. So I think your daughter, you know, it's not too late to start. It's something most people don't even try in their lifetimes. And I didn't start running until I was in my 30s. So she has a lot of potential. And good things happening, and she's your daughter. So I think that she has great inspiration there. So good luck to her. And that's a great story. I love it. It's such a fun story too, I think.
Yeah.
So anything, I guess besides coaching your daughter, you're enjoying, how many people did you get signed up for the team in the high school now?
Well, for track and field, I ended up with, and I don't know, I was completely flabbergasted, to be honest, after only having 8 kids turn out to cross country, but I was having 20 to 24 kids showing up for track and field practices.
That's great.
And I had to dig deep and do some serious learning on my own, because I had a couple of folks that were really interested in getting in and into jumping, throwing as well. And the jumping I did a little bit in high school. I didn't do any throwing. I'm not especially gifted in the upper body muscle area. So I avoided that as a plague before. And then I was going, okay, I guess I got to figure out how a shot put gets thrown.
Oh, man, you should throw a track and field session for the club or NBR for the rest of us. That sounds like fun, actually.
That could be a fun idea. It could definitely be a fun idea.
I think it'd be like an adult sports day kind of thing. I'm interested. I'll be the first to sign up.
maybe there might be something in that. Yeah. In my spare time.
I know.
But yeah, we had 24 kids showing up to pretty much every practice. I think my lowest turnout was on a horrible rainy day, and I still had like 16 kids show up.
That's actually a huge turnout, especially for high schoolers, I find. These days, you're competing with other things going on, and wow. And what a great hobby to take up, even as a hobby, I think, you know, something that you can take with you for a lifetime. That's really neat.
Yeah. And it's kind of neat because it's very much like the running community we see now, which I didn't really expect at the high school level, because there were some kids who were coming out to the practices going, is it okay if I just come to practices because I don't want to race? And I'm like, that's awesome. Come out to the practice. Come enjoy this. There were other kids who were like, I really want to make provincials. What do I have to do to get there?
Mm-hmm.
And having both those kind of interests show up at that, it was kind of neat to see it at a high school level.
That almost makes me wish I was in high school again, because the reason I didn't take up any sports really other than tennis growing up is because I didn't have, I'm not taking down any of my high school PE teachers, but obviously running wasn't something that ever came up. I didn't have any teachers that were recruiting for cross country or running or track and field. And to think that one, just something like that, you know, just putting together a program that you did, and that can make a difference. So kudos to you for doing that. Like I said, maybe some of these kids will grow up and they'll end up doing big things like you, right? You never know. So that's really neat.
And just getting out and introducing the idea of hey, you can get out and move your body a little bit, mm-hmm. get a little bit uncomfortable, see if you can go a little faster, find a little bit more joy in moving, and that's all a good thing.
Getting older and getting faster. I guess it's kind of old and kind of fast. I don't know if I'm getting faster, but I'm definitely getting older. So I hope I can get faster too. It was those old times.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching your Instagram. I know it wasn't quite as great a year as your past years, but you're rocking it too, May.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Getting out, getting moving, even when the weather's a little too hot or a little too wet. Or a little too windy like that. One day I saw you out on the dikes out there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think when I first started running 7 years ago, the hail like would be hitting me and the branches would be taking me out, and I didn't care, and I don't care still, but a little bit. I'm getting a little bit older, so when it's cold, my ankle starts acting up. So I'm not as, and or maybe I just gripe a lot more on Instagram about it. So I hope I don't come across that way. Oh man, it's too hot today, or the wind is just coming at me, and it's funny because I think I still love it. Oh, I still do love it because I won't be doing it otherwise, but. It's been a little bit hard in the last 2 years because of COVID and being alone and going at it. So I do miss, I haven't shared it yet, but my goal is to really get back into the trails. You have inspired me. You're one of them. Janine, my last guest, Justin, who just finished his first 100. It's amazing what people can do. And these are just normal people. I mean, I'm not saying you're below average or just average, but these are people I know I met in daily lot, who, you know, who hold part. a full-time job, to have families, and you're still kicking ass. So, Phil, I think you're
getting out and playing.
Yeah, I think I love how you still get that done and you have your own family and responsibility. So that's awesome. And I hope other listeners, you know, the reason I do this is because I want to tell story. I want people to hear about stories, not from just elite athletes. You know, elite athletes are awesome, but so are the everyday people, right? So that's great. And I will make sure if it's okay with you, can I share your Instagram or your Strava or whatever? What's the best way to connect with you, Phil?
Strava, undoubtedly. I think that's the one that I definitely use the most.
Yeah.
I kind of journal a little bit in there. Just might be a warning to some folks, but I do kind of keep my journal going on Strava as well, and share that every once in a while. I get a couple of pictures together and throw something on Instagram. Though most of the fun stuff, I think, in my mind anyway, shows up on Strava.
I think it's neat because I think you also focus not only on the training, but on the rehab and the mobility. And that's something that I remember you telling me about, because I had my share of ankle injuries, and you're the one who always emphasized to me, it's not just the running. You have to stretch and do all the other good stuff that you don't want to do. And I'm very diligent. If you follow me on Strava, I know people probably get annoyed, but I post everything too. So it's never too much.
it's kind of funny reverse thing of Strava, or it didn't happen. I kind of find it keeps me a little bit more honest, how easy it would be to say, oh, no, I can skip my maintenance today. And I went, you know what? If I skip my maintenance, then I'm showing people that you don't have to do maintenance.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like if I'm showing the world what I'm doing, I got to show the good, I got to show the down days, and I got to show where the extra work goes.
Yeah. I love it because, like I said, maybe we don't have access to a physiotherapist on a whim like some elite athletes, but you got to do what you have to do, right? And it seems that it's working for you. You're still running. You're running long distances, a long way from your, I guess, 3K long distance running in high school. You know, it's incredible that you can get older and stronger. And I think Victoria's coming up, so we'll see what happens there. And hopefully I'll get back to that level where I can start running with you again.
There we go.
Yeah, that's my goal. Run with Phil. Well, thank you for your time. I know you probably have another run or mobility session coming up after this. So I can't wait to share this. And thank you for finally coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, May. I love talking about running, so.
So do I. So I will have to, I have to connect with you probably soon in person so we can chat even longer.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good day, Phil.
You too, May. Take care.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to yet another episode of this podcast. If you enjoyed it, please give me a follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Happy running.